Stephanie Sison walks through Ponderosa Park in the town of Basalt. She holds in her hands a planning map for the half-acre plot.
So the entrance will be over there.
Circles on the map show where plum, apple, and nectarine trees will be planted. A plot for mushrooms is adjacent, and a seed-saving garden sprawls at the forest entrance.
The central area being the tree section, which will be cleared a bit in the understory and left to natives, so all native edibles will be added in as the understory.
All the amenities sound like they could be part of a community garden, but this is different. The concept is pretty simple. Planners recreate a forest ecosystem with edible plants and trees in a public space. Then you open it up and allow people to forage for food for free.
It is a forest, it is a park, but it's all edible. So the whole community can come in and sit under the apple tree and eat from the apple tree.
Or Sison says pick mushrooms or tomatoes or walnuts. Compare that to a community garden, which gives growers the mindset of personal ownership.
My row, my tomatoes, you know, I tend it, I take care of it, I harvest it, I take it home. This is just everyone's.
Sison's employer, the Central Rocky Mountain Permaculture Institute, is partnering with the town of Basalt to pay for and maintain the food forest. Basalt serves as a small bedroom community for the affluent ski resort in nearby Aspen. The town's horticulturalist, Lisa DiNardo, says she hopes the food forest can serve as common ground within the community.
And this is where we need to go. This is one way to build bridges in communities. It's through a food network, for a healthy food network.
That robust network plays into the food forest's location, within walking distance to the town's elementary, middle, and high schools, and across the street from a predominantly Latino trailer park community. DiNardo says up in the mountains, food security is a huge issue, and that has people thinking about what they eat. A couple years ago, a blizzard and subsequent avalanches cut off road travel. Produce trucks couldn't make it into the isolated mountain towns.
There was a big storm, went into City Market, and literally the shelves were empty. And I think that was an impetus for people, growers, to really start thinking about it. You know, what can we do locally to bridge the gap?
The forest represents a shift in the way towns and cities think about their public spaces, but it's still an experiment.
Trees take a long time to establish and get both looking nice and producing food.
Don Thilmany studies local food system economics at Colorado State University.
So I think that's why they're taking a different tact and not having individual owners, but seeing it truly as a community asset to share, similar to a park system or a trail system or streets and roads.
Thilmany says she can't help but be cynical about the idea of opening up the forest completely. What happens when someone picks all the apples at once, or teens trample all the tomato plants?
I do think there will be some challenges from people who wonder, how much of that fruit crop do I own?
So I'll be fenced, the whole thing.
The forest's main proponent, Stephanie Sison, says she's not worried about the park being overrun by ambitious harvesters. Sure, the park will be open 24/7, but Basalt is a small town, and people in small towns talk.
The more open we are, we can kind of combat the one or two people that might have some malicious intent. It just won't be cool. And if it's not cool, they probably won't do it. So it'll be cool to come here and eat.
Plus, Sison says, the trees won't be bearing fruit for a couple years. Plenty of time to educate scofflaws about how this food forest actually works. I'm Luke Runyon, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media reports on farm and food issues and is a collaboration of KUNC and other public media stations in the Midwest. You can find other stories or comment on this one at harvestpublicmedia.org.